Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Go Ahead's full year results for year ending 28th of June 2014. I'm going to, in normal fashion, take you through some highlights, then I'll hand over to Keith Down, the Finance Director, who will take you through the numbers. Come back to me for a little bit more color on some of those numbers and draw out some of the key issues, and then we'll have a Q&A session after that. So, in terms of an overview of our performance, I mean, one of the most significant things was actually winning the TSGN franchise. That's Thames Link Southern and Great Northern, and when we take it over on the 14th of September, we'll be calling it GTR, which is a much easier mouthful. So, we're looking forward to doing that, and it is the UK's largest franchise that we've won, and when we do take it over, we'll be the UK's largest operator of trains. We're sector-leading customer satisfaction scores in our deregulated bus, or what we will be calling regional bus, at 92%, and that's particularly pleasing. And we've got record numbers of passengers on both our buses and trains. And to top it all, we've been shortlisted for the Northern and TransPennine franchises, for which we will be expecting the ITT shortly. And on the financial side, good progress towards our bus operating target of 100 million by 2015-2016. Profit before tax and exceptional items is up just over 25% to 79.1 million. Adjusted earnings per share have increased by just over 26%, and we've got strong free cash flow and reduced net debt, even though we've increased the amount of CapEx spend and the amount of investment in the businesses, predominantly in the form of buses and some premise spend as well. Proposed full-year dividend has been raised to 0.845 per share. That's a 4.3% increase and is in line with our progressive policy on dividend. There has been no increase since 2008, if you want to go back and check. But it's not just about all the finances, it's not just about that. It's also about how we contribute to society and how we play our role in society. So we're the only operator to achieve the Carbon Triple Trust, or Trust Triple Standard for Carbon Waste and Water Reduction, and we are the first FTSE 350 company, may not be the last, but we're certainly the first to achieve the fair tax mark, which we're pretty pleased about as well. And we continue to improve improvements in fleet quality and our underlying environmental performance as well through those investments. So I will now pass on to Keith to take you through all the numbers.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. So looking at the summary in total, as David said, overall results slightly ahead of latest expectations, well ahead of our initial expectations at the beginning of the year. You may have noticed that we actually reallocated 2 million of pension interest in respect of IAS 19, previously including operating profit, now reallocated to our finance costs. Also reminding as well that beginning of the year we restated our numbers by 15.8 million for the impact of IAS 19. And that the current year impact of IAS 19 is 15.6 million of profit, including the 2 million interest costs. And it's also worth remembering that bus is 3.3 million, and if you remember, we adjusted our 100 million target to absorb IAS 19 impact, which is now 3.3 million. But as you can see, overall like-for-like operating profit up 16.5 million, and you know, steady performance, consistent performance across all group companies. So looking at a little bit more detail at our deregulated business, again, very consistent performance with previous years. Like-for-like revenue ex-Olympics at 4.3%. That's, you know, very consistent with what we've done recently. And again, like-for-like passenger growth 1.9%. Again, very consistent with a sort of average 2% growth that we've seen over the last few years. We've seen revenue growth across all our deregulated businesses. I think it is worth pointing out that Go North East has suffered a little bit from an underlying commercial perspective. However, we have compensated that by additional commercial contract gains, but that has come with associated cost. Revenue and passenger growth, though, in both commercial and concessionary overall, and particularly in concession revenue, as we said at the half year, going against the recent trend of perhaps some reductions in concession revenue. We have seen, though, mileage growth. I think when we did our 100 million plan, we assumed no mileage growth. We have put more mileage into the network, and that has got associated costs with it, 1.8%. A quick look through the regional profit bridge. So operating profit up 5.5 million to 41.9. We have seen some cost savings in the year, perhaps as we did anticipate would be slightly slower in the second half of the year, but 1.9 million. We continue to focus across the bus businesses on claims. We did see a reversal in our regional business of some of the savings we made in the first half of the year, which just goes to show that you can still have some quite big accidents and they can still cost you money. But overall, underlying organic growth, that reflects obviously revenue growth outstripping the cost inflation that we've incurred, plus the associated costs of the network growth. We have seen a fuel cost movement negative in the current year. I said that's been obviously known for the whole year. And again, as stated at the half year, we saw some increased pension costs related to the scheme closure. But overall, as you can see, consistent margin performance across the year and a step up from last year, 10.8% up to 11.9% performance, highlighting the progress that we need to make for our 100 million target. Looking at regulated, we'll focus on the ex-Olympic numbers. So like-for-like revenue growth is 7.5%. That was slightly higher than we stated in the pre-close statement, mainly because of the BSOG allocation. We reallocated BSOG during the course of the year, and that actually contributed 3.7% of the revenue growth. It was just a reallocation from cost to revenue. If you strip that out, actually underlying revenue growth is 3.8% on a mileage of 1.6%. So you can see, again, a fairly consistent relationship between revenue and mileage growth. Underlying mileage growth in the second half was 0.5% or 0.4%. As expected, we expected that to reduce in the second half of the year with lower rail replacement revenue, having seen good rail replacement revenue in the first half. Looking forward to next year, we expect contract mileage growth to be broadly flat. We also expect to see a small reduction or a similar reduction in QICs next year. And rail replacement is always difficult to forecast from one year to the next. So again, breaking down our profit bridge for our London business, operating profit up 2.8 million to 41.6. We actually made 1.6 million of Olympic profits last year. So if you strip that out, that's actually a growth of 4.4 million. Much better performance overall on claims, £3.5 million for the cost savings on insurance claims during the course of the year. We did make a very small acquisition at the back end of last year with some sites, some routes that we took off First Group, and that made a very good contribution of 0.8 million. Similar fuel and pension movements as for our regional business, and very consistent margin. I think that's been a feature of what we've talked about in London over the last few years, which is a stable market. Just moving on to fuel in particular. As I said, we did see a small increase, 2.6% of fuel costs in FY14. But looking further forward, we've now fully hedged FY15 at 48.5p. That's 4% lower than FY14. And normally at this stage, we would be 50% hedged for the year after. But we looked at fuel prices. They were at 45.8 pence at that point. So we took a one-off decision to lock in the other 50%. So we're now fully hedged for FY 2015-16 at a further 5.6% lower than FY 15. It's also worth pointing out that now that contract revenue in London has been reallocated and also some BSOG monies also on a local tender level outside of London, that the amount of BSOG actually issued centrally by government has now gone down from about 44 million in previous years to around 20 million now. Moving on to rail, a lot of numbers here, but we'll focus on the second column, which is the ex-Olympics. Southern has continued to trade in line with expectations. We are now in revenue support. We were from April 2014, and we expect that to be at the 80% level and to continue to the end of the franchise in July 15. Southeastern, the numbers in the second half and the last quarter was distorted by a revenue recognition adjustment, which we often have to make, but otherwise in line with expectations. And again, being in revenue support, as it has been for several years until the end of this existing franchise in October 2014. London Midland continues to see increased competition, impacting growth. We were in revenue share at the first half of the year, and now we're no longer in revenue share. And certainly it's a challenging environment, and we don't expect actually to make a profit contribution from London Midland going into 2014-15. But passenger journey growth, very strong at around 4.8% in total, partly impacted by some of the DfT travel card allocations we talked about earlier, but also we're seeing a lot more shorter, lower yield journeys as well. And again, just as a reminder, we did anticipate that yields anyway would be lower in the second half of the year, as we had a lower average fare rise of 2.7% in January compared to 4.2% last year. So looking at a little bit more detail on rail and the profit bridge, we saw operating profit up 8.2 million to 19.7. Total passenger revenue increased by 5.4%. Net premium payments overall, including all revenue support, subsidies and premiums, went up by 51.6 million, meaning that we're now an overall net contributor to DfT across all our franchises of 64 million. Notwithstanding the fact that we saw profit increases, margins are still at around the 1% mark, still at pretty well historically low levels. We did incur bid costs of £8 million during the year, perhaps slightly higher than we thought, but due primarily to the success of our TSGN bid. And we have started to incur mobilisation costs on GTR, and we'd expect there to be around £3 million of mobilisation costs in total. Looking at the results in overview, we have a separate slide on finance costs, exceptional and tax. But the effective tax rate was 14.9%. Non-controlling interests reflect our minority interest in Keolis. But as David said, our EPS was up 26.4%, but it is partly supported by the deferred tax benefit, the lower tax rates. We have increased our dividend per share by 4.3%, based on our policy of 2x dividend cover, but before the impact of IAS 19. And there's a slide in the appendix just to give you a little bit of clarity just how we arrived at that calculation. So moving on to finance costs, we've now included in the current year £2 million of IAS 19 revised interest, which would have been £800,000 the previous year. Actually, if you strip those numbers out, we would have had a finance cost of £16.3 million, almost identical to the previous year. We have actually refinanced our bank debt during the summer in July, and on the back of that, based on lower margins, we would expect our finance costs, with all other things being equal, to be around about £800,000 lower next year. Moving on to tax, as we indicated, effective tax rate 14.9%, below the statutory tax rate due to a deferred tax credit due to the enactment of future corporation tax rates. We would expect going forward statutory tax rate next year 20.75% as those tax reductions come through, reducing to 20% 15-16. And we would expect, on average, our effective tax rate to be around 1% above the statutory tax rate for those years. Exceptional items, I think we have given some guidance on this previously, so there should be no surprise. We do get a credit arising from pension scheme closure, which means there are no further benefits due to current members, which has reduced liabilities and therefore created a credit. It's non-cash and non-recurring, hence exceptional. And then, as we also flagged with London Midland, on the back of quite difficult trading conditions, We did a restructure, and that was the estimated cost of that restructure. Looking at cash flow, some very good news in terms of reduction in net debt across the year of 48.2 million, better than we were expecting. Certainly the back end of the year, we had more income, less capital, and better working capital than we anticipated, so a win on every front. When you're looking at the year as a whole, this time last year, we were looking at potentially a reversal of working capital on the back of, as you come to the end of franchises, we would expect us to start settling sort of contractual obligations such as dilapidations. And of course, with winning TSGN and also potentially if we can extend a Southeastern, a lot of those provisions and settlements will continue into the new franchise. And we believe that now is a permanent feature, certainly for the next year or two, so we don't expect that to reverse. It's worth reminding as well with the pensions add back that cash margins are now higher than actually our reported margins because we add back in our cash flow the benefits of IAS 19. And overall, we've seen free cash flow of 89.6 million, despite the fact, as David said, that we continue to invest in the business 67.3 million of net capital expenditure. We do expect next year, as we highlighted when we won TSGN, approximately £45 million worth of working capital inflow, offset partially by the fact that we would have to hold that as restricted cash. Looking forward then, looking at profitability, looking at the sort of generation of net debt plus the working capital benefit from GTR, we'd expect to move to a cash positive position next year of around £50 million. So full-year net debt, 42.7, less than we anticipated. Adjusted net debt to EBITDA is 1.45. Under the new facility, we won't add back IAS 19, which we do under the existing facility. If we add back IAS 19 back into the numbers, it would be at 1.57 times, so just within our target range of 1.5 to 2.5 times. And as I said, we have a new five-year, £280 million bank facility signed after the year end that came in July 2014. As far as pensions are concerned, you know, in terms of rail, nothing unusual, just a small increase in the charge. In IAS 19, there's an appendix in the back of the presentation just so that people can understand the impact of that. As far as bus is concerned, we did close the scheme on the 1st of April. As we said at the half year, we were expected to put in an asset-backed funding scheme to give pension scheme interest in the group properties. And we do expect on that basis lower cash contributions going forward because that property interest allows for a longer deficit recovery period. So it gives us the benefit of spreading those payments over a longer period. And it's worth pointing out that when you look at the way pension costs would have gone, we would have, without closure, it probably would have been £2 million higher this year and potentially even as much as £4 or £5 million higher next year. So it's very much a cost that we've avoided in terms of the defined benefit scheme. And finally, just moving on to capital expenditure, gross capital expenditure, £61 million on bus, £8.2 million on rail. We do now expect to start spending more on rail, assuming a Southeastern extension and with the GTR win. In 2015, bus capital £40 million and rail of £25 million, so around £65 million next year. As far as bus is concerned, £40 million again the year after, and then £60 million the year after that, 2017, as we start to get back into renegotiating a reasonable chunk of London contracts, and therefore we'd expect to buy new buses for them. So that's for me. I'll hand you back to David. It's also worth reminding as well that the full annual report is available on the website. Thank you.
Thank you, Keith. So starting with our deregulated stroke regional bus, I think I said it at the half year, it's a bit of a misnomer to say we're deregulated because we're covered by all sorts of regulations. The only difference is we aren't covered by a local transport authority's tenders. So we are going to move our expressions to regional bus and London bus. What a revolutionary change. So if ever I mention dereg, I'd like to sort of boo from the audience, and I'll try and correct myself. But we're pleased to report record operating profits, and our margin's up to 11.9%. So up to 15.1% margin's 11.9%. I think that's the highest they've ever been in our regional bus. It's passenger satisfaction rates of 92%. So we're doing something right out there. We're carrying more people, and that's how we're making our profits and actually providing the services that that people want. Strongest ever performance in terms of both revenue growth and continued cost efficiencies. And in terms of some of the things we do to actually attract people to our services, mobile ticketing is one of them, and we made good progress with that. 100,000 more people now using our bus apps than a year ago. And we continue to improve the product by using some of the techniques and designs that we've put in on our rail app called OnTrack, and we've migrated that across to the bus app as well. We have around 550,000 smart cards. As I said before, we are the largest operator of smart cards outside of London's Oyster. We still get growth on that, and we've had a 20% increase in revenue during the course of the year from smart card ticketing alone. We've introduced 244 new buses in our regional bus network, and that's at a cost of £43.2 million of capital investment. Maintaining a young fleet is a good thing. It's good for passengers. Passengers like it. Keeps down our engineering costs. And it's also important that that fleet is increasingly more environmentally efficient. So we have 200 vehicles now that are a combination of hybrid or gas or electric, which is the way we're going in terms of improving air quality for either directly for our passengers or for tendering authorities that we may be working for. We've responded to the Tyne and Wear's third mention of their consultation over introducing a quality contract scheme. We still promote and believe very strongly that the way forward is through a voluntary partnership. That is the way that produces the best benefits for both bus passengers and for taxpayers. And at the moment, we just await to see what the ITA will decide in terms of the way forward, which we expect sometime in the autumn. We continue to look for opportunities for growth through acquisition. The only reason that Keith alluded to something that happened at the back end of last year in London, the only reason we haven't acquired anything during the year is that we haven't found the right opportunities at the right price. We've had a lot of activity, but it just hasn't been right for us. And all of the regional bus, it's all backed up by empowered local managing directors who understand their market, understand their customers, and understand their stakeholders. And that's one of our philosophies. Moving to London Bus, record operating profit up 7.2% with continued mileage growth. Keith has talked about it being flat most probably for next year. Strong performance, good underlying revenue growth, and consistent mileage growth. We remain London's largest bus operator at 24% of the market. And it's a very mature market, there's no doubt about that. We're very comfortable with what we do, we understand our client very well, we understand the market very well. We continue to focus on cost efficiencies, and one of our significant improvements has been in insurance claims costs, which we've managed to improve by £3.5 million. London is predominantly the area where most insurance claims come in. As you can imagine, it's a very busy city. There's a lot of traffic out there. So actually reducing that has been a big focus, and it's paid dividends. They've had good Quicks performance, slightly down on last year's Quicks performance. And that was because last year's was all influenced by Olympics, from when there was a moratorium on in terms of roadworks. So it's still busy out there. We've got Putney Bridge closures at the moment, and we have to deal with those things on a regular basis in running our networks. We've had further success in getting two-year automatic extensions to our contracts. You only get them if you meet performance criteria. And the advantage really is that we don't then spend capex on new buses until those 2 years are up, which is why Keith has also said we expect another peak when we go through bidding for more tenders, and we would hopefully be successful and therefore would be invested in new vehicles. Continued investment in the green fleet, as I said before, and because we're constantly looking to find ways in which we can reduce our costs, we increasingly have to be more innovative about that. So we've been partnering with originally Williams and now GKN in flywheel technology. We've been prototyping that, and we've now have plans for introducing 500 buses with flywheel technology. And the advantage that it does is it does two things. For our clients, it reduces air quality, whether they be customers or whether they be Transport for London, for instance. And for us, and it reduces, improves air quality because it reduces CO2 emissions. For us, it reduces fuel cost. So it's all a win-win, and we'll be progressively introducing those 500 vehicles over the next couple of years. It's actually retrofitted to start off with, and then we made it part of the manufacturing process. Target 100, we talked about that, started that off a couple of years ago. It was all about, actually, just to remind you, to say that we can through these earnings, through our bus earnings alone, we can carry on paying the dividend, because we were going through a bit of a hiatus in terms of rail franchises at the time. Now, we're on track for doing that. Last year, we set out some of our assumptions and gave you some of our guidelines as how we were going to achieve our £100 million target in 2016. Those assumptions are still valid going forward, and what this slide does is just show some performance against those assumptions during the course of the year. Taking both London and regional bus together, and for the first time, actually, the profits in regional bus have been higher than those in London bus, as per the plan, I should say. What we've got is another incremental step on our journey towards that £100 million bus profit target by 2015-16. And it is worth mentioning that £100 million target is a stretching one. We're constantly managing a whole range of different challenges that come across in order to keep on target. I wouldn't want you to walk away with the impression that it's just a breeze and a walk in the park. There's a lot of challenging activity going on behind meeting that target. So as an overview, and it does slightly repeat some of the things that Keith has said, in regional bus we've seen slightly better revenue growth than anticipated, but there's been mileage growth also as we've grown our networks, and Keith gave the example of the North East. And that mileage growth wasn't included in our original target assumptions, and it's quite difficult to understand actually how much of that additional mileage growth has fed back had an impact on revenue. In London, revenue and mileage were ahead of expectations, and that was helped by rail replacement work. We will always have rail replacement work, there's no doubt about that. What you can't do is predict with great accuracy into the future how much of that you will get hold of and how much of that will actually be. There were no unexpected cost increases. Costs were broadly in line with inflation, but of course there were some incremental costs associated with the mileage growth that I've just spoken about. We've delivered good cost savings, and we mentioned this, good cost savings in H1. And we anticipated them not being as great in H2. We knew about that, and that's come out as we expected. And again, a point that Keith has made out, in the second half on H2 in regional bus, we didn't meet our insurance claims targets because we had one or two big accidents near the end which wrote off a couple of buses and with some big insurance claims costs. And I really put that level of detail in to show that it's not predictable. You can't just predict it and say it's all going to happen. Things happen. That's what we do. We run buses and trains and things happen, and you have to manage all of that. Rail, well, we awarded TSGN. I hope we haven't confused you by interspersing TSGN with GTR. We'll soon just talk about GTR, I promise. Our mobilisation is on track for the 14th of September, and our operating profit was ahead of our initial expectations in terms of rail for last year. Moving to individual companies, Southern, consistent revenue performance, continued focus on customer experience, both in terms of introducing, for instance, 26 new trains. But the real big issue we've had that hasn't had a big fanfare, in fact, and we're hoping to do some more publicity next week, is that we've now made more progress on our key smart card. So you can now get on one of our buses in Brighton or Crawley, get on one of our trains, travel all the way through to Victoria, get off at Victoria, travel on the underground to, well, St. Paul's or maybe Romford or somewhere, and you can do all of that on one smart card. And if you're really, really feeling adventurous, you could take the same smart card and hire a car in Brighton to the bus stop. I'm not quite sure why you'd want to do that. Or you could hire a car we've got some arrangements with other in other parts of the country. So you could get on another train, get off at Crawley, get off somewhere else and hire a car as well. So it is a reality, and I may be emphasising this because we find it great difficulty, because people think of Oyster and that's all that happens. There's more happening outside of London, and we've been doing all this, and it's all in place at the moment. And all that does, we hope, is make end-to-end journeys easier for our customers, and therefore they will travel more. We've partnered DfT on train procurement, and we will be incorporating Southern into GTR in July 2015. Southeastern is in line with expectations. It's operating a seven-month extension of its contract, as we've explained before. That finishes in October 2014, and that's based on the original terms from many, many years ago, and you have no choice. You have to operate it. And we are at the moment negotiating terms, which hopefully will be successful, with the DfT for an extension of the South Eastern contract to June 2018. And that's all part of the government, the DfT, aligning franchises after some hiatus a couple of years back and aligning them to the right dates. London Midland revenue has slowed due to increased competition on the West Coast, which Keith has already spoken about. And as a consequence of that, we've carried out a reorganisation, which you've seen has gone into our exceptional items. And we're doing that because we have to react to what's going on, and we actually have to make this franchise sustainable. But we don't expect it to be contributing profits over the next year. However, I'm very pleased with what London Midland's been doing in terms of its punctuality performance. It has now... is one of the leaders, well, it is, it's the most improved rail franchise within its regional sector, and it's really got its cancellations and punctuality on target at the moment, and it's doing very well. It also will be on a seven-month extension to March 2016, again, as per Southeastern on the original terms that were set out many years ago, 2007. And we will then be in discussions with DfT. It preliminary has started, but we'll have then discussions with the DfT about proposed extension to June 2017. Again, all part of aligning the franchises in a better fashion. GTR, pleased to say we won on both price and quality. There can be no doubt about the decision to award it to us. Making direct comparisons between bidders can sometimes be quite difficult because it depends on what the client wants to buy and it depends on what the bidder wants to sell. We make the analogy with buying a car. You can buy the optional extras if you want, if they happen to be there, and that's some of what's been going on in the franchising. We've put different things in order to attract quality points. It's all about judgment that the bidders make in terms of how you present your franchise bid. There's been a short mobilisation period, in fact a very short mobilisation period, so we've been working very hard to get that together for the 14th of September. There's a lot of processes you have to go through, and I think one of the lessons I've learned from that is if you don't have an experienced, good people who understand what you're going through with this mobilisation, it will make it very, very difficult, and you may actually slip up on some of your cost control. So how you set it up at the beginning is actually quite important. So we've gone through all the rolling stock leases, gone through all the contracts. It's a very particular process that we've gone through, and we're hopefully near the conclusion of that very shortly. Some timelines for Great Northern and Thames Link routes. Starts on the 14th of September. Southeastern, a very, very small part of Southeastern, is incorporated in a timetable change in December of this year. And then in July 2015, Southern and Gatwick Express is incorporated within it. We need to change a little bit of our language because we want to make it clear that this isn't the merging of franchises. This is the creation of a brand new franchise, and that's the way we're looking at it. And with that thought process, it will be the biggest franchise in the UK, and it's not about the merging or taking over. And GTR is part of the whole £6.5 billion Thames Link programme. It forms part of all that. We are partnering within that programme with Network Rail, with the DfT, and with Siemens, and we play our part in meeting some of these key milestones. And I've consistently said, you can only do this franchise through collaboration and partnership working, and that hasn't changed at all. And we will carry on working that way all the way through to 2018, when that programme should finish, and we carry on running up through to 2021. Our bid itself, just a little bit of detail on the bid itself, we focused on customer experience. That sounds like a good idea. Increasing capacity by 50%, 10,000 additional seats into London in the morning peak, 3 new train fleets being introduced, 108 new carriages for Gatwick Express delivered through 2016, 150 new carriages for the Moorgate services that go through North London up to Hertfordshire by December 2018, and 1,140 Siemens carriages, which have already been ordered by the government, starting, they come in through 2016 through to 2018. We then, one of the key issues is how you introduce these train fleets into the network. Again, this is not a straightforward issue. You don't just pick up the train and stick it on the tracks. There's a lot of work that has to go through, a lot of work in terms with Siemens and Network Rail in terms of introducing this train fleet. And we also have to introduce this train fleet through the central core on automatic train operations. So